This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
I want to share with you and hope you all understand that we have a perfect Father. He's our Heavenly Father. As men, I want you to understand that God the Father is our role model. He is the one I want you to emulate more than any earthly father, or in the absence of an earthly father, or in spite of an earthly father. Today, the message tells us what we honor fathers for. Though they were imperfect, we honor them for what they did that was right. If you have a father, if you have a husband, you give a man honor and respect that can motivate him to change his behavior toward the one who's honoring him. So I want to use an acronym today, Father, and I want to share a few things about what our Heavenly Father is, his traits, and I want to talk to you about the traits of a human father. Let's begin with the letter F. F stands for faithfulness, provision, and care. Say faithfulness. Our God is faithful and he provides for us. In Matthew 6, 25 through 33, it talks about how that the Lord knows what we have need of. This is why I tell you to never be worried about your life. For all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing? Then he goes on to tell us, look at the birds. He says, they don't worry about what they're going to eat. But he says, I provide for them. He says, and look at the flowers and the lilies in the field. He says, they don't worry about what they're going to wear. But nothing in all of Solomon's glory was ever attired and dressed so beautifully as that one lily. He says, if I've taken care of these flowers that fade and these little birds that no one seems to notice, how much more will I take care of you? So then forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your Heavenly Father already know the things your bodies require? So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and God's relationships and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these important things will be given to you abundantly. God loves being a father to you. That's what I want to share with you this morning. And when we don't trust him, we rob him of the opportunity to care for us. I'm going to read some scripture and lay a foundation. Matthew 7:11. If you, imperfect as you are, being evil, one translation says, know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what's best, how much more ready is your Heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask him? He says, you know how to love, but you're imperfect. In fact, you can be classified compared to God as not only imperfect, but evil. He says, what he's trying to say is, compared to God, even compared to the Father, even the things we know to do for our children makes us look like we're evil compared to the love that the Father has for his children, for every one of his children. Then Hebrews 13:5, I like this. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God, himself has said. Now we're talking about God is faithful. God's a provider. He says, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, when people say I'll never leave you nor forsake you, some mean it, some don't. They mean almost never, I'll never leave you. But God never leaves you. The Father says, in your worst hour, when you've committed your worst sin, I will never, ever, ever, ever reject you. Somebody say yes. I will not ever leave you or turn my heart away from you. Do you know what? I found that to be true. Has anybody found that to be true? In my worst hour, when I was at my lowest step, when I was condemning of myself, when I didn't like me, I didn't not only like me, I hated me. I was embarrassed by me. And when I still had the desire to exist and the desire to move forward, and how can I possibly recover from the mess I've created for myself? My Father loved me. He touched me. He touched me literally on the shoulder and says, I told you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Never, ever, ever can you get out of my heart. Somebody say yes. That's the Father that we serve. You're stuck with that relationship. Somebody say amen. Am I too loud? I think I'm too loud. Okay. Monitor me, please. He means it. He means it. He means it. But he also gives us two exhortations in those same two verses. He tells us not to covet. He says, in essence, don't desire what your neighbor has. Why do we get into covetousness? Because we have an orphaned spirit. When you're an orphan, you're your own provider. And there's a lot of anxiety growing up because there was never enough. I'm talking about God is faithful. So an orphan has to have too much in order to have just enough. So you can take somebody who has nothing and bring them into your presence, and they'll take what you give them, but then they'll put some away. They'll try to hide something, and they'll do something because they don't know where their next meal's coming from. Your Father doesn't want you and I to live that way. Your Father is bigger than that. Your Father is faithful. You have a rich Father. Hear this. You have a rich Father, and he says, I'm never going to let you starve. Somebody say amen. If I provide food for the birds and clothes for the flowers, he says, I'll care for you. So calm down. I'm here. We are fathered children. We are never destitute. Why is faithfulness so important? F stands for Father. If a man isn't faithful, it doesn't matter what else he is. If a man is faithful, it makes up for whatever else he is or isn't. His faithfulness will endear him to his wife and to his children. His faithfulness will make him useful and attractive to his wife and his children. And to be faithful, it means that we sacrificially commit ourselves first to our God, our wives, and our children, in that order. To our God, to our wives, and to our children, in that order. A man who says, I don't care what happens. I don't care what we have to go through. We're going through this together. My God and my family comes first. I can give up anything in this life that I need to. It's all negotiable, except this. I will not give up my God. I will not give up my family. I will never give up any of them. I will be faithful to them no matter what. That is what a father means. That's the Father you have. He says, no matter what, I'm never leaving you. I'm never giving up on us. I don't care what we've got to go through. We're going through it together. Children and wives are looking for that kind of security, that kind of love. And when we use divorce as a weapon, when we use divorce as a threat, when we use, I'll withhold my love, my conversation, my relationship from you because I'm mad at you, when we do that, we're robbing our family of that security. We are treating them not like the Father would treat us. You need to dialogue with your family. You need to converse with your family. If you're angry, you need to be angry and sin not. You don't need to destroy your family by refusing to talk to them. You don't need to destroy your family by moving away from them. You don't need to go into a hole and pout. I got real serious real quick, didn't it? You need to be a loving father. Your Father doesn't treat you that way. And we don't need to treat our family that way. Somebody say yes. The A in Father stands for attentiveness. God knows every detail in our lives and he cares about us. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground, but that your Father doesn't know it. He says, and I even know the numbers of hairs on your head or the numbers that used to be there. Amen. He says, do not fear, therefore, for you're worth far more than many of these sparrows. So then forsake your worries. Why would you say, what would you eat or what will you wear? He says, I'll take care of you. Not all of us had attentive fathers. God is attentive to us. He's watching everything we do. He knows where we are. He knows where you live. He knows every single need in your life. Let him father you. Let him father you. My dad was a provider. My dad was affectionate. My dad was a man's man. My dad was a workaholic. My dad hardly ever talked when he got home. He read the paper, and that was it. He survived, and he went to work and did things. He was hardly ever, I count on one half a hand, the number of ball games he came to. But he prayed over me every night, and he worked long hours. He was a workaholic so that my brother and I and my mother could have the things that he never had. I understand that, but listen, because there was not that attentiveness to me, there wasn't that conversation with me, because he didn't train me. He was a master carpenter, but he didn't train me. Now, I love my dad. My dad is my hero. I'm not picking on my dad. I'm using my dad because I don't want to use yours. Okay? My dad knows I love him. Okay? Now, and I rarely ever talk about any of my family in this way. Oh, I'm not trying to put a bad light on my dad. My dad had virtually no communication with his parents. Very little. Okay? He was alone. He wasn't showing much affection, but I'll tell you what. He made up his mind. He was going to be affectionate to me and to my brother and to my mother. And I'm not afraid to go up and hug a man. Most people, you go up and hug a man, he'll go, hey, get out of my space, sucker. But you know what? They also treat their families that way. And their daughters that way. And then they wonder why their daughters go out looking for affection. For a male role model that will say, I love you? Yeah, I love you if you have sex with me. That's what they say. That's not love. How many believe we need to hug our daughters, kiss our daughters, hug our sons, kiss our sons? Whatever we need to do to let them know, here's what real love looks like. And you'll raise stronger women and stronger men because of it. Somebody say amen. My dad didn't. He did all these awesome other things. Oh, he was a man's man. You just had to know him. And yet, he didn't train me. He didn't teach me. So I lacked confidence. He didn't talk to me. So I lacked confidence, and it caused a root of inferiority to rise in my life. So see, I needed that attentiveness. Somebody say yes. I needed that attention. We need to converse with our families. We need to spend time with our families. We need to be conversational with our families. Are you listening to me? And I don't care what you did or didn't get in a father's training or love. I don't care how good it was or how bad it was. You need to hear me. You are always on God's heart. You are always on your father's heart. He has nothing better to do than to father you, to pay attention to you. He knows every detail about you. He wants to spend time with you. That was hard for me to accept. That God loves me. God wants to spend time with me. God is pleased with me. God's not mad at me. Now I pretty much know that I'm God's favorite. Just kidding. That's really true, though. You know what? I got 4 grandkids, and I adore them. I just adore them. There's, you know, I mean, what can they not have? They can have anything they want when they're with me. And she knows it. My son doesn't. My son-in-law sometimes says, Dad, whatever you do, don't give Ari a Coke. Oh, okay, son. Coke, yeah, why? He says, well, it just makes her run the walls. So we got in the car. My little Aria, she heard it all. I got her in the seat, shut the door, turned the car up. She says, Papa, what, baby? She says, I need Coke. She got it. I said, she got it. That's my role in life, to give them whatever they want. Now, you may think that you can't be God's favorite because she's God's favorite. You know what I tell my kids? I told Avon, you're my favorite, baby. You're my favorite. He goes, I know. I'm your favorite. I'm your favorite, Papa. I'm your favorite. And then when Raylan comes on, I said, hey, baby, you're my favorite. And Avon says, no, I'm your favorite. I said, no, you're my favorite number one. He's my favorite number two. And then Ari come along. So you're my favorite. He says, you're my favorite number 3. Says, no, Papa, I'm your favorite. I said, no, your favorite number 1. Your favorite. See, I just take them in the order that they got here. It don't matter how many the Father has. It don't matter whether you're first or you're 1,987,000. He loves you the same. You're his favorite. He treats you all alike. He gives you whatever you need. And when everybody else is telling you no, your father will say yes. When things are impossible, when the doctor tells you, no, you cannot live, your father says, yes, you can. When the world says you can't be forgiven, your father says, yes, you can, honey. Somebody say amen. When you've been treated badly and you don't know how to relate, you say, yeah, I can't relate to anybody. He says, oh, you can relate to me, son. I'm going to teach you how to talk. I'm going to teach you how to walk. I'm going to teach you how to be a man. I'm going to teach you how to love. Oh, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. My God's healthy. Hallelujah. And he wants you to be healthy. If you believe that, say yes. Okay. Attentiveness. He knows you. He loves you. The T in Father stands for time commitment. We've got faithfulness, provision. We've got attentiveness. And now we've got time commitment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, I preached on last week. And all the seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Did you know that if you're willing to spend all day with God, that he's willing to spend all day with you? Did you know that if you're willing to spend all day with God, he's willing to spend all day with you? Time commitment means that God wants our time and he's willing to give us all of his. Well, how can God give me all of his time? God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient and he's omnipotent. He's the only being in the earth, God Father, God Son, and God the Holy Ghost, that can be everywhere, know every thought. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground. The intricacies of a snowflake, he created it all. Don't tell me God can't be with me all day long. If he can do that, he can love me. Because now listen, God doesn't live up there. He lives right here. He's in me. He's in me. All knowledge is in me. All peace is in me. All healing is in me. Somebody say yes. He's the Spirit of the living God. He's the anointing. The Bible says, I have no need of anybody to teach me if I have him. Doesn't mean I'm not teachable and I don't learn from others. But it means if they won't teach me, my Father will. Hallelujah. So you cannot fail due to a lack of education. Oh, I didn't get to go to school. Oh, there's the school of the heavenly hosts. Hallelujah. You got angels teaching you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Gabriel teaches you math. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Michael teaches you how to defend yourself. Somebody praise God with me. And the Holy Spirit teaches you how to worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord stands up and he says, my son's praising me. What do you need, son? I'm ready to manifest. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise him right now, because he's your heavenly Father and he loves you. He's attentive to you. He's faithful for you and he has time for you. Are you listening? You know how children spell love? T-I-M-E. They need your love and your time more than they need new tennis shoes. Now, make no mistake, they need new tennis shoes too, because my son could not live without Jordans. I think he was a basketball player, and I hate the man, because the shoes cost $7,000 a pair, and they wore out in 8 weeks. That's a racket, baby. Just kidding. They need your love and your time more than they need an education. They need an education. You know what? There's been many dads sent their kids to college and bought them cars, and the kids had a huge hole in their heart, because what they really wanted was an hour with their daddy. To know that he loves them and tell them he's proud of them and that he believes in them. Especially when that first term report comes back. And it says, you are a zero. Your life is a zero. Your brain is a zero. And your dad says, you can do it. Hallelujah. Rather than like that little picture of the kid standing in front of his dad with sweat coming off of him. Just flowing off of him, and his dad's sitting in the big chair, and he's giving him his report card, and his dad says, still grimly hanging on, I see. That's not your heavenly Father. Your Father says, come on, get up on my lap, son. I'm going to teach you how to do this thing. He loves me. He loves me. I said he loves me. He's my Father. He's real. He's not some big guy with a fly swatter in the sky ready to smash me. He's saying, come, I'll give you everything you need. Hallelujah. So good fathers spend good time. God loves spending time with his family. Hallelujah. God is not into zapping. He could zap us and say, you're mature, you're wealthy, you're healed. But you know what he does? He prefers to spend time with you, and he loves the journey because he's relational. I said he loves relationship. It's why he planned to give his son so you and I could be brought back into the forever family. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, the Lord already knew what he was going to do. They all three knew they were going to be sacrificial because they wanted you and me to know they're willing to die and to give their only son in order that you and I could be part of the family. Liken it unto you're an elder brother and you're 22 years old. And your little five-year-old has been kidnapped. Huh? That's really what happened with us. We have our father and we have our elder brother. And we're the babies. And we've been stolen by the devil. And the only way that you can be bought back is to give a ransom of Jesus' life. They not only did it, they planned it so that we could say we had a choice. We're not robots. We don't serve God because he made us that way. We serve God because we chose him. Because he loved me so much, he gave everything for me. If he loves you that much, do you think he's going to abandon you when you make a mistake, whether it's on purpose or otherwise? I'm not saying you have a license to sin. I'm saying you have a license not to sin. Would you come back to Jesus, get up in the lap of your father and say, I messed up again. He says, but I'm going to help you, son. I'm never going to leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never give up on you. You don't have to sin until we finally serve him because we want to, not because we have to. That's a father's training. Say, my father trains. Say, my father teaches. He doesn't reprimand me and slap me. He doesn't make me feel worthless. Are you listening? Sometimes I don't even have to go to the father. I don't feel condemnation, but I feel I've hurt him. All my daddy had to do, all my grandpa Roland had to do, was just look at me with those eyes of love. And I may not show it, especially when I was a teenager, but it broke my heart because I realized I'm looking at two of the only people who love me with every ounce of their being. And this ain't on them, it's on me. And I love them enough to make a change. That's the kind of love that comes from your heavenly Father. You know why I love them that much? Because they show God's love, even in their weaknesses. Listen, your kids, they see your weaknesses. What they want to see is God in the middle of your weakness. That when I fall, I shall arise. Are you listening? How could I get up here and preach a Father's Day message when I've disappointed my kids so many times? You know why? I said, Sissy, I missed something. I didn't do what a daddy should have done. She didn't say much, but I knew. I said, baby, I missed this. And she says, I know, daddy. I said, I love you. I said, I did this and I did this and I did that. She says, I know, I saw it all, daddy. I said, but I made a lot of mistakes. She says, you know what? She says, I know you love me. And we're gonna focus on what we did right. Wow. What can she have? Anything. Love always restores. Your father's no different. He's the one who taught us. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If I wanted to keep you from being successful in business, all I would have to do is rob you of your money. If I want to keep you from being successful in your relationships, all I have to do is rob you of your time. It's impossible to be close to a person that you don't spend time with. There's an old saying that if the devil can't stop you by getting in front of you and stopping you, then he'll stop you by getting behind you and pushing you too fast. Where you haven't got time for your children. You haven't got time for God. You haven't. Somebody say, huh? You understand what I'm saying? If you do, say yes. Hallelujah. But he'll keep. The enemy will keep you from spending time with the most important people in your lives. The This is why you have to fight. This is why you have to be willing to sacrifice, to spend the time. The H in Father stands for a heart of mercy and grace. Say mercy and grace. Let me read this scripture. It's a bit long, but it's the Passion Translation. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 13. Lord, you're so kind and tenderhearted. We're talking about the H in Father stands for a heart. Say a heart of mercy and grace. Lord, you're so kind and tenderhearted. That word tenderhearted means compassionate. The Hebrew is a homonym for womb. The Lord carries people like a mother carries a child in her womb. I love that. Lord, you're so kind and carry me like a mother carries a child in her womb. To those who don't deserve it, you are tenderhearted and carry them. And so patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river, overflowing its banks with kindness. You don't look at us only to find our faults, just so that you can hold a grudge against us or get angry. You may discipline us for our many sins, but never as much as we really deserve. How many of you say amen to that? Nor do you get even with us for what we've done, higher than the highest heavens. That's how high your tender mercy extends. Greater than the grandeur of heaven above is the greatness of your loyal love, towering over all who fear you, trust you, and bow down before you and worship you. In relationship, in other words, farther than from a sunrise to sunset, that's how far you've removed our guilt from us. The same way a loving father feels towards his children, that's but a sample of your tender feelings towards us, your beloved children who live in awe of you. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1, 3, celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us his extravagant mercy. Say mercy, mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Mercy and grace. We need to understand the difference between mercy and grace. If you steal my money and I catch you, then mercy means that I'm not going to give you what you deserve, jail. I should call the police and I should have you arrested, but I'm not going to do that. Why? Why? Because I have mercy towards you. Grace means I caught you, but I'm going to give you the money anyway. Mercy means that I'm not going to give you what you deserve, jail. Grace means that I'm going to give you what you don't deserve, the money and help. God is a God of mercy and grace. The devil wants us to believe that God is mean and vindictive and unforgiving. Say it with me. God's not mean. And that God is constantly angry at us. I get angry at my kids, but I don't kill them. Well, sometimes I thought about it, but that's... We have the wrong concept of our Heavenly Father. The reason that the enemy wants us to believe that he's mean, that he's angry at us, is so that we won't run to God when we sin, we'll run from God. Because we're not going to run into daddy's lap when he's mad. That's why the devil wants to convince us that daddy's always mad at us. Let me tell you something about the Father. He was mad. Very mad. 2,000 years ago, but he took it out on Jesus. So that you and I wouldn't have to deal with his anger. Why is God angry? Because he hates sin. How many of you hate murder? How many of you hate rape? How many of you hate cancer? Let me see your hand. That's why God was mad. Because where we're going, there is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no hatred. Oh, somebody raise your hand and thank God. He got mad at sin, but he's not mad at you and me anymore. He knows we were infiltrated and infected with sin. But now, because of his son's blood, because of the sacrifice that was worthy. God, in the cool of the day, was walking in Adam and Eve. Come to the piano, honey. God, in the cool of the day, was walking in the garden because he was used to walking with Adam and Eve. He was used to conversing with them. He was used to loving them. He was used to teaching them. He was used to relating to them. He was used to fellowshipping with them. But something got in the way. It was a lie from hell that says, you can be like God, and God doesn't really love you, and God's angry at you, or God will be angry at you. And you know what? They bought the lie. But you know what God did? He created skins. Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves. Why? Because they knew they had messed up. They knew they were guilty. They were ashamed of their nakedness. They were ashamed that they had bought into the lie. But you know what the Father did? He says, here. They were ashamed. They hid from God. Is that not a picture of us? I've been endeavoring to get closer to God in my love life with God. I've been doing things I had never done before, but then I fall back a little bit. I mean, good things. You know, reading, praying, seeking, getting to know Him. But when I miss a day or two or three, I feel that gap. I feel that, I wonder if He's okay with me. Lord, I haven't been here in a couple days. I did this and like He doesn't know. I would have done this, but you know, I had to do that. And He just listens. Then I remember when Adam and Eve had failed. And everything was lost. And they tried to cover their sin by hiding and then covering their bodies with fig leaves. Man's solution to shame. Man trying to cover his own guilt, his own fear, his own shame. And the Father said, no, here. And He gave them skins. You know what the skins were? God killed innocent, without blemish animals. For the first time, there was death in the garden. He said, because without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. Jesus' blood was the only thing that allows us to renew our fellowship with God once we had a knowledge of good and evil. If you've got a knowledge of good and evil, you know that I would do, I do not. That I don't want to do, I'll be if I don't end up doing. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. When He killed those animals and gave them skins, it was a sign that His Son would go on the cross and shed His blood, and we would not have to cover ourselves with fig leaves. We could cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus, and we would never have to feel guilty again because He made the sacrifice. God's got skin in the game. God's got skin in the game. God's covered you. He paid the price so you never have to be afraid to come back to Him on the third day. You need to rise on the third day and say, Jesus, I missed 3 days, but I'm here today. He says, come on, son. He says, I've missed you. Not like your pastor says, I missed you. But like He says, I really missed you. I hope you're getting this. I got to quit. What letter did we get to? Nobody knows. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I already covered E. E is expression. Expressive love. Your Father loves you. Your Father gives affection. The open affection of a father is critical to the child's self-esteem, their inner security, and their sexual development. Children need their parents' physical and verbal affection to be healthy. Just a touch. Don't be afraid to touch your children. Touch them with your words. Touch them with your hand. Touch them with your heart. Hallelujah. Children need to be touched, loved. But since it's Father's Day, let me close with this. Family, fathers need to be respected and honored. Well, they don't deserve it. Really? If you can't find anything, some parents, some kids can't. There have been some horrible situations. You know that. If you can't give them honor for anything, give them honor and respect that they gave you life. because you wouldn't be here otherwise. And some of you, you're going to need God's love to even do that, because they treated you hideously. But I promise you, the reason why they did that many times, it's no excuse, but they were treated that way as well. And they came in with baggage to bring you baggage, to bring others baggage. Do you understand that if there's no love given, then it just continues? We need to respect the dad for what he has done right. The child needs to be protected, needs to be provided for, needs to be trained, needs to be guided, needs to see faithfulness. Whatever you've seen in your dad of any of these traits, honor him. Honor him. Because I go back to what I said at the beginning. If you honor them for what they have done right, you'll change their behavior and they'll do more right. Because a man's number one need is not sex, it's a close second. But it's honor. It's honor. You respect me. When my kids say, "Dad, I love you," I say, "Oh, thank you." And I go, but I'm going more, more, more. "Dad, thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing that, Dad." It's not, yeah, it is. I want to hear how much they love me. I want to hear that, "Dad, you're the dad that I've always wanted and needed. You screwed up here, but you were great there." You know what it does? It don't make me mad. It makes me want to do better in that other area, because I've still got their love. I said, I've still got their love. There's hope for me. If they're still loving me, there's still hope for me. Somebody say amen. What are you trying to create? An atmosphere where we cannot quit, because we can always succeed. If you're 60 years old and you screwed up everything as a dad, it's time to begin again. I have knowledge of fathers who mistreated their children, but God loved them, forgave them, saved them, restored them, saved their child, restored them, and they started over. And the last 10 and 20 years of their life was dynamic and full of God's best. How many believe God can make you, help you to forget the past and to remember the present? That's the Father that we love, and He loves us. Hallelujah. 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 The last one is the R, and Father stands for relational authority. We'll do that another time. Oh, hallelujah. Let me say this. Dads, your discipline doesn't amount to a hill of beans if they don't know you love them. And if you don't discipline them, it's as if you don't love them. But you better get the both together. Non-relational discipline breaks a child's spirit and provokes them to wrath. Non-relational discipline. You do not have the right to discipline your children if you don't explain to them why they're getting disciplined. Tell them how that they can avoid it. Tell them that you love them enough to teach them. Somebody say amen. My dad, I'd much rather had a spanking, because he'd spank me or he'd punish me. But then he'd talk to me for an hour. I couldn't stand that. But I look back now and I realize that showed me he loved me enough to spend the time with me. He wasn't interested in getting his anger out. He was interested in getting me healed. That's better than your shouting amen. You dads that go and you pout and you don't talk to your kids when they disappoint you, and you tell them, "I'm leaving," you're not helping them. You're provoking them to wrath. You need to love them. You need to say, "I forgive you. Yeah, you've hurt me, and there's going to be consequences. But you know what? I'm not giving up on you. We're a family. We're going to make it." Oh, somebody help me here. We're never going to quit, because my Father loves me. I can love you. Stand with me. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord. Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise. We give you glory and honor and praise. Lord, I'm so glad you don't sit up in heaven and bark at us. Lord, you live in my heart. Oh, I worship you. To every mom and dad that are missing their child today, to every child that's missing their father and their mother, to every child that had a father but it was not a good relationship, I'm telling you, your heavenly Father is the one who heals all of those needs. We are so imperfect and we are hurting, but he's so perfect and he's such a hurt healer. Lift your hands to him right now and say, Father, I thank you. You're the healer of my hurts. You're the healer of my loneliness. You're the provider. Lord, you're the provision. Lord, you're the builder. You're the repairer. Lord, you are my trainer. You are my lover. You are my friend. Lord, I worship you. And I want to be like you, Father. Glory to your name. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, if you want the love of a father, or you're far from him and you want to spend time with him, you want to be restored to him, he's ready. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand and say, I want you to pray with me right where I'm at. Pastor, one, two, three. Let me see your hand. If you need any of those prayers, this could be your day. Praise God. I see hands. I see many hands. Father, I thank you on Father's Day. What better day to come back to Jesus or to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Pray this prayer with me. Church, pray with us. Father, Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins by sending your son Jesus to give his life for my life. You washed me and made me clean, and you made it possible for me to be your child and for you to be my father. Teach me your ways, O Lord. I want to follow you. I want to learn about you. I want to relate to you. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.